are accounts, not really a story. It is an actual factual account. Amen.
We have a couple prayer requests. Pray for Sarah Hall Quintero, who is having a major surgery this morning. Pray for Robert and Renee Guilford as they travel to Colorado to handle some legal issues.
All right. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we lift Sarah before you, Lord God. You know exactly the surgery that she is scheduled to have. Father, the doctors have done everything in their power to prepare for this surgery. They would not be trying to do this if they did not believe she needed it. We entrust her, Lord God, not to their hands, but we entrust their hands to your hands. We entrust, Lord God, that you are with Sarah and that your will be done in her life. We know that healing and health are important to you, and we're asking you, Father, that if this surgery needs to go forth, that it will go forth this morning, and it will go forth without complication, and Lord, that she will have such an amazing recovery that your glory will shine through it. We pray that while Sarah, while her family are going through this time in their life, Lord, that their hearts be tender and drawn to you. And Father, I pray for Robert and Renee, Lord God, as they travel. Father, I pray that even as they're traveling, Lord God, that you would counsel and comfort their hearts, that you'd speak to them wisdom, Lord Jesus, and I pray that you'd give them favor, that your will alone be done in their lives. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Gateway Church, located at 4227 West 3rd Street here in Elk City. They are our sponsor today. They're having a fall camp meeting October 23rd through October 26th. Sunday, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday night at 6 p.m. Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Wednesday at 6 p.m. And it's hosted by Pastors Chasten and Brooklyn Music. If you would like more information, you can call 580-225-4646. Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. The Refuge Church at New Liberty. They're located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Getting your oil changed or having your tires rotated isn't always the easiest thing for a woman to have done, but it's always been just fine for me because Barber Dyson Ford takes care of everything. They've always treated me professionally. I've never had to worry about unnecessary work, and the work they've done has kept me on the road and it's kept me safe. That's one reason I'll be a Barber Dyson customer for life. Thanks, Barber Dyson Ford, for providing outstanding service for 25 years.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. I need to do the right thing. The challenge is finding out what that thing is. This is where you develop habits. Good habits produce good results. They're not dependent on what somebody else thinks or even what you think at the time. When you find the right thing, make it a habit.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269. Let us pray.
It's not time to go yet, y'all. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is Belonging to the Family.
Belonging to the Family.
Belong to the Family.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And, you know, so that's cool. Where Jesus wants you. He wants you to belong to the family of faith. He wants you to belong to his family. Amen. He wants to plug you into a family like he did Monica. You know, if you need a church family, we'd be happy to welcome you if that's where God leads you, wouldn't we?
Yeah. I promise I won't throat punch or put a headlock down on you. I won't.
We promise
he
that.
He won't let me.
There we go. There we go. We have lots of people that help keep Monica in line, so she's good. Church, it's all good. Praise the Lord. Hey, this Sunday we're having something special going on, too. Yeah. We've got a special guest, Paul Abner, who is the president of Oklahoma Faith Leaders, which is an advocacy group that kind of helps coordinate Christian ministers and legislators and help push, you know, for God's agenda to become some of the agenda at the state capitol. And so he's going to tell us about how God has been working in Oklahoma and share some powerful testimonies of some breakthroughs. It's going to be good.
Before you get back to the lesson, would you share our location and the times and anything else you want to share?
Anything else?
About my home?
About your home?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Living Waters Church, we're located at 109 West Webb Street, which it's right by the high school football field in Burns Flats, so you can't hardly miss it, the White Church building. And we start on Sunday mornings with the time of early worship and intercession at 9 a.m. And then church starts at 10. We usually get out around 12, give or take just a little bit. We'd love to have you come and join us. We also have Tuesday night worship and intercession at 7 p.m. And Wednesday night we do some worship and get into the Bible study where we literally just sit down and open the Word up and go line upon line, precept on precept, and a little bit different than when I'm preaching, and people seem to like that. So if you're hungry to know and grow, come see us. If you need a church home, we'll help you get planted and plugged in. This Sunday, too, not only are we having special guest Paul Abner come, but you're going to be the first one in the church besides Sharon knows this. We're having an Italian fellowship dinner. So we're going to have some fancy spaghetti called winter spaghetti. We're going to have maybe some manicotti and a little this and that, and so if that sounds good, come get some of this wonderful Word of God and get some food and fellowship. Join us Sunday.
I personally invite y'all to come eat.
She'll buy it for you.
Yeah.
Monica's buying lunch. There you go. 10 a.m. this Sunday, so praise God. Well, Jesus was at the wedding in Cana of Galilee when the family ran out of wine. And I said before, this first miracle, it's not about wine. It's about removing shame. If that would have been allowed to remain, the whole wedding would have just suddenly came to a wah, wah, wah. And, you know, the guests would have went, oh, my gosh, you know, whatever. It would have been horrific. It would have been terrible. And the family, the bride's family, the groom, they would all have been humiliated beyond belief. And so the reason Mary was so adamant was because of that. It was not because they needed more wine. Hey, let's get some more wine. No, it wasn't like that. It was about this family not suffering humiliation. So it could also relate in this way. I mean, anything in our lives that's going to cause humiliation, that's going to cause shame, anything lacking in our lives that the Lord is able to make up to us. He's able to help us, and he's willing to help us. It's not just enough to think that God is able. You remember when the leper came to Jesus one day? He said, Lord, I know that if you are willing, you're able to make me clean. And what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't just go, okay. Jesus didn't do that. He literally reaches out and touches the man. That's an unheard of thing. Touching a leper? Are you crazy, Jesus? No, he's not crazy. He's compassionate. Well, he's crazy about compassion. He likes to show it. And I'm going to tell you today, God wants to show compassion to you, and God wants to you, and God wants to show compassion through you. God wants to use your prayers getting answered to help other people know his goodness. The only reason why, when we look around the world today and we see all this bad stuff happening, you know why that bad stuff's happening? Because there are a lot of people that don't know God. No one surrendered to God, doing things God's way, perpetrates evil or harm to other people. We wouldn't even need policemen if everybody knew God intimately and did his will. We wouldn't need any of it. So what do we need to do to help make the world a better place? Well, we need more people to know God. Well, how are they going to know him? They're going to know him through those of us who do know him. And we've got to be that salt and light. And one of the ways we do it is by our relationship with the Lord being such a relationship that it reflects family. When Monica came to church, she wasn't looking for a church. I promise you that. She was looking for a home, a spiritual home. And a home is not a home because it has walls. That's a house. A home is a home because it has a heart. And heart comes from the people in the house. So God has a home for you. If you feel homeless spiritually, God has a home for you. But you're going to, when you come into the house of faith, you've got to become part of the family. Well, Jesus invited us to that. You want to share something?
Yeah.
You about to bust over there?
I remember whenever I first started coming back. And, I made the decision and I started coming to church and I started praying. You know where I'm going?
Probably.
And I was praying. Y'all try not to laugh. Okay. So I was praying this prayer and I heard the Lord tell me to stop praying in vain. And I was like, I didn't understand. And I kept, because I didn't understand, I kept praying that prayer. And then the Lord told me to talk to you about it. And so I came to you and you sat with me on the altar steps and talked, and I explained to you my prayer.
No.
And you told me if you didn't know me better. And then you sat with me. You didn't make me feel bad in any way. You made me feel like a human, like someone who, is growing.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't make me feel like poo. You know what I mean? That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
He didn't condemn me, make me feel ashamed. He just will sit down and let's talk about this.
Yeah.
But
I didn't let you continue in wrong belief either.
Yeah,
right?
You helped me understand why the Lord spoke that to me, and you helped me understand why he told me to stop praying that prayer, because I was praying in vain.
Yeah.
And for me coming back and being new, I didn't understand. And the Lord gave me the instruction to talk to you about it so that I could understand it with my mind and my heart. And then once I understood, I was like, oh. And then I had to go home and get with my Abba, my daddy. And
go put your eyes on the Word.
Yeah.
That's like, why is it telling me this? Because that's what the Word says. The things that we believe them because we've looked in the Word. Remember, we started this today with Jesus saying, they said, your mama's here, your brother's here. And he looked around the room and goes, these that are in this room who do the will of my Father, they're my family also. Mm-hmm. So
that prayer I was praying, I was basically praying for the devil to come back to a right relationship with God. Because if he did repent and come back to God, then in my immature mind, in my immaturity, I didn't know that I was praying a prayer that just ain't gonna happen.
Right.
And you helped me understand and grab a hold of the truth. And
yeah, there's nowhere in the Word that tells us to pray for him.
Yeah.
He's beyond reconciliation with God, because he absolutely knew better. He absolutely knew better. He completely rebelled against God. He is forever rejected, and he is the enemy of your soul. Hates you with every fiber of his being. But you got to appreciate a childlike heart. Monica certainly came to the Lord with a childlike heart. But we need our prayers to be in line with the word and the will of God. I can't just, you know, there have been a lot of people that have been damaged in their relationship with God. And I think that's one of the things I wanted to prevent in her life as a pastor. So if I started praying for something that is clearly not going to happen according to the word of God, like some man is married and he decides, you know what, I like that woman better. I'm going to start praying God will give me that woman for my wife instead of this woman. Well, I can tell you this, that is not inspired by God. It is that goes completely against the will and the word of God, and it ain't going to happen. I mean, you might force it to happen, but God wouldn't have nothing to do with it. It's not going to be no answer to prayer, that's for sure. You'll find that out. If you went down that road, you'd find out that was not an answer to prayer. That was me opening myself up to destruction, what that would be. But if I love that person and they say, well, I'm decided I'm praying God give me a new wife. If I love that person, I'm not going to sit there and let them go down that road. I'm going to tell them the truth. You can't do that, brother. You can't do that. The word of God says this, you know. We're going to counsel them what the word of God says. So it's about belonging to the family has a lot to do with knowing the will of the Father. Knowing the will of the Father. Jesus said, those that do the will of my Father, they're my family. Well, I can't do the will if I don't know the will, and I don't know his will if I don't know him. Jesus is at this wedding in Cana. Mary knows Jesus. Nobody ever doubted that one, right? And she knows who he is, and she knows what he's capable of, what he could do to remove this humiliation and shame from this family. And so she comes and goes, Lord, she said, you've got to help him, in essence. They've run out of wine. He says, what's that got to do with me? It's not my time. And she just ignores that. I love that. She just ignores that, turns to the servants, goes, whatever he says, you need to do it. I can almost just picture her saying that and then just giving Jesus that motherly glance. You know, like, I'm not leaving you any option. You know, there are things that God has promised in his word. This might take some of you back a little bit. You might have to chew. But I believe God wants us to put a demand upon his word. Now, by that, I mean this. I don't mean that we go bossing God around. We don't boss God around. He's God. We're not. But when he promised that he would do something for us, he don't want us coming there begging as if we're trying to talk him into something when he's the one that promised that he would do it for us. He wants us to come to the throne room of grace with boldness. Because of our relationship with him. Mary had boldness. She says, whatever he says to do, just do it. And Jesus turns around and goes, fill those big old water pots up full of water. And we know the rest of the story. He said, now, take it to the head of the feast. And Nate's like, can you imagine the faith it took for them to do that? They had to just go, okay. I mean, I'm the guy that just poured the water in that pot. I know what's in that pot. Water. And now you're telling me to take that water, that wine, and take it to the master of the ceremonies? For what reason? But they couldn't, listen to me, faith don't have to make sense.
Come on.
Faith rarely does make sense. But it does make miracles. Faith makes miracles when it doesn't make sense. Pour water in those pots, that don't make sense. Take the water you poured in those pots and take it out. I don't know when it actually transformed. Did it transform from water to wine when they poured it in? Possibly. Did it transform from water to wine when they took it out? Possibly. I don't know, but I guarantee this, by the time it touched the lips of the master of the ceremonies, it had been transformed, because his comment was this. He goes, hey, stop, you know, everyone, they always serve the best stuff first, and then when everyone's had more than enough and their taste buds are dulled down, then they serve the cheap stuff, the watered down stuff, but not these people. These people have saved the best for last. That tells me a couple things. I'm going to just throw this out there. It tells me that the wine that Jesus made tasted better than any wine they'd ever tasted before. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you this. I've tasted both wine and grape juice, and I like grape juice better. I've tasted old wine, and I've tasted new wine, and I like new wine better. New wine is unfermented, and old wine is fermented. I don't believe anybody could have ever gotten drunk off the wine Jesus made. You want to know why I believe that? Because the Bible says, do not be drunk on wine. So would Jesus create a wine that people get drunk off? Now I realize I'm taking some liberty. I can't prove this, and you can't disprove it, except for one thing. I know this, Jesus met those people's needs. Whatever it was, he met their needs. Maybe they, it didn't matter what the process was. What mattered was the end result. And it would have never happened without Mary's intimate relationship with Jesus and the willingness to go. It wasn't Mary's problem. She's not the wedding host. She's just a guest there. But she cared about someone else's need enough to let her intimate relationship with the Lord bring help to them. I'm going to say that one more time. She cared enough about someone else's need to let her intimate relationship acquire some help for them. Now, what do you suppose their response was? Well, I can't even begin to picture that these people, this father of the bride, mother of the bride, the groom, the family, I cannot even picture that they didn't, from that day forward, just say, man, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Lord. So that was Jesus' first public recorded miracle. It apparently would not have happened at that time without Mary's audacity. And Jesus likes us to be bold in prayer. He wants us to use our relationship connection with him to acquire things, not selfishly, but so that he is glorified. I'll take you to Luke chapter 11 real quickly. We just have a few more minutes, but we'll go to Luke chapter 11. And Jesus' disciples were, they had seen that John the Baptist gave his disciples a lesson in prayer, so in Luke 11:1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. He finished, and one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, and our Father, and if you look at the footnote in your Bible, most likely, your Bible's going to say, it says Abba. It means intimately, intimate Father, Daddy, Dad, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Forgive also everyone who sins against us and lead us not into temptation. I like the King James, but deliver us from evil. And then he said to them this. So he gave them a pattern for prayer, knowing to start out with this. Start out with an intimate title, our Father, Abba. Start out your whole prayer. So you want to learn how to pray? Here's how you pray. First of all, make sure your prayer starts out with your relationship with the Father. You're not praying to some distant God who doesn't like you. You're praying to a near Father God who loves you. Big difference. And then he said, you know, keep it in perspective. Remember who he is. He is the King of all kings. Hallowed be your name. In other words, your name be exalted above all things. And he gave them that model of prayer. And then he went on and said this in verse 5. He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight, and he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. When did he come? Midnight. Do not come to my house at midnight asking me for bread. If you do, you better be a friend. If I will guarantee you this. If some bum comes, some person I don't know comes to my door at midnight, hey, I need some bread. I'm going to go 911. Yeah, we got a weird guy on my front porch. That's what's going to happen. He said, you're not going to give him bread? No, I'm not going to open the door unless the Lord himself tells me to. You hear me? I remember one time at my parents' house when I was a teenager, some guy come to our door drunk. My dad opened the door with a shotgun, stick it in the guy's face. What do you want? We lived out in the country. Our pickup had gotten stolen out of the driveway. That was in about 1980. Oil field was crazy around here, man. It was crazy. That's all I'm going to say, you know. So you didn't just go opening your door every time somebody knocked on it when you lived out in the country. But my dad did take the guy in the house. The guy was drunk. It was cold outside, middle of winter, and they took him in. But my dad didn't put the shotgun away. And the guy sat there on the couch. They gave him a nice warm cup of coffee or something while he waited for the sheriff to come get him. You know, they took care of him, but at the same time, they were careful about it. They didn't trust him because they don't know him. Now, I'm going to tell you what would have happened this. Same scenario. Someone knocks on the door. My dad goes to the door. He got a shotgun in his hand. He goes to the door. It's like, oh, it's my brother, George Robert. Come on in. Shotgun would go back behind the door where it was kept. What's going on, man? You know it's midnight? He goes, yeah, I know it's midnight. I sure hate to bother you, but I need this. And my parents would have said, oh, okay, here you go. Why? Because of relationship. And that's what Jesus is trying to get us to see here. They said, teach us to pray. And he goes, all right, here's a model for prayer. Start out, Abba, Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your name's above every other circumstance or situation. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need. Forgive me where I need it. Forgive those who need forgiveness from me. I forgive. Help me to avoid temptation. He goes, he's laying these things out. And then he says, now, he wants to take it a little deeper. He goes, now, suppose one of you has a friend and he comes to you at midnight and knocks on your door and he goes, friend, a friend of mine has come on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Let me ask you something. What's that got to do with me? I heard that somewhere. Jesus at the wedding, woman, mom, what's that got to do with me? He said, then the one inside will say, go away, don't bother me. The door's locked and my children are in bed and I'm in bed and can't get up and give you anything. But verse 8 there says, but I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend only, but because of the man's boldness, he'll get up and give him as much as he needs. What caused the man to have the boldness? Jesus is saying he's not giving him the bread just because he's his friend. He's giving him the bread because of his boldness. But what caused the man to have that boldness? It says he came to his friend's house saying, a friend of mine. In case you missed it, that is about relationship and relationship. And relationship and what's Christianity about? Relationships. Well, I don't call it a religion. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. Amen. So Jesus said this, he will give it to him because of his boldness. One translation says audacity. Mm-hmm. Audacity. Importunity, another fancy word. I don't use that one ever. I'd look that up in a dictionary. But because he's just brave enough to ask on the basis that, hey, we know each other. He will get up and give him as much as he needs. Verse 9, what's the first word? So, I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, I want to point something out about this passage of Scripture that you won't get if you only read it in the NIV or the King James or whatever else. You're going to miss this because in the original language of the Greek, it literally it implies this, and the Passion Translation points this out about asking persistently. In the Greek, it literally reads this way, whoever asks and continues to ask will receive and continue to receive. He who seeks and continues to seek will find. He who knocks and keeps on knocking, to them the door will be opened. That's the way it really reads. And so, because if I read it this way, he said, ask and you'll receive. Bada bing, bada boom. Boom. It's not. It doesn't always work like that. Prayer works. And prayer works on the basis of covenant relationship. But we also have to be persistent. So I want to say this in closing. Jesus died on the cross so that our sins could be completely forgiven and washed away. So God's not going to treat you like a second-class citizen when you have a first-class relationship. You can come in there with boldness coming into where are you going when you're going to God to ask for something for yourself or for someone else? You're going to your Father's house. Well, just like I told you about my grandkids come in and eat my chicken nuggets, I walk into my parents' house and walk right in. I know that anything in that house that I have need of, it's there at my disposal. Does that mean I take it without even asking? No, I do not. I show respect. But if there's something that I need, I already know that they're going to give it to me because I know them and I have a relationship with them, right? So I know that that's how it's going to work. And that's what Jesus is trying to communicate. And when they said to him, you know, hey, your mother, your brothers, they're outside, he just saw it as a perfect opportunity to get them to realize, listen, you can have a place of intimacy just like she does. Mary, my own birth mother, Jesus would say. I want you to realize that when you do the will of God, you become part of the family of God. And God doesn't look at you like you're some far-off thing, a subject in his kingdom. He looks at you, that's my beloved child. God did not adopt you to be a servant. He adopted you to be a son or a daughter. Amen? So we ought to have boldness and be part of the family. Maybe you've never met someone who was physically adopted. I knew these two boys that were, one of them was adopted, one of them was a natural born child, and they were close to the same age. It tends to happen. People adopt a baby and then mom gets pregnant. It tends to happen. And so these two boys are pretty close to the same age, and the natural born one, of course, at times they would have these sibling rivalries and he'd feel superior and he'd go, well, you're adopted. And his adopted brother, I love this, his adopted brother had this great attitude. He goes, you were born, they didn't have any choice, but with me, they picked me out. And he would use it. He would use the fact that he was adopted as a weapon. Well, I want you to feel this way. Use the fact that God loved you so much that he adopted you into his family by grace and love as a weapon against the enemy. And don't let him make you, make you feel like you're an outsider asking for something you don't deserve. But you are an insider because of what Jesus has done, and you have every right as a child of God to have what God says he wants you to have. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, I pray you help us all to walk in the identity of who we really are in Christ. Not to be more high-minded of ourselves than we ought to be, but certainly do not let the enemy browbeat us because of the things that we have fallen short on or failed to do. Because our relationship with you, Heavenly Father, is determined not on what we have done, but how we have responded to what you have done. We have invited you to save us and forgive us, and because of that, because of our faith in you, Lord Jesus, we are made new, and we thank you for that. I pray for my brothers and sisters that if any of them are struggling in their attitude of prayer, feeling like that their prayers are not powerful, they're not effective, I pray that you'd show them that they are part of the family, the very own family to you, Jesus, and that you will surely answer their prayers. We ask this revelation to be at the forefront of our minds as we go through life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from our beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from my spirit dad, Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.